morning again. I thank you for that reading and prayer. Say something, but someone you mentions, our young ones. You know, I pray the Lord would be pleased to bless each one of us with the sound of His gospel. But truly, don't we pray that He'd be merciful to our children, that He would continue to bless the preaching of His word for generations to come, and He'd be pleased to show them the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd ask you to open your Bible back to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. And while you're turning there, I want to read a verse of Scripture from 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 19. Listen to what Paul said here. He said, in the church, I'd rather speak 5 words. 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 1,000 words in an unknown tongue. He said, just 5 words. Just 5 words. And I pray that the Lord would enable me to do that this morning, that He would enable us to look at this passage of Scripture here in John in simplicity, in the simplicity of the gospel. Paul wrote to there in 2 Corinthians, he said, I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through subtlety, through craftiness, through trickery, that your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity, the singleness, the oneness of the gospel that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just five words. 5 words for a sinner. 5 words for a needy sinner. That's my desire. That's my desire, to preach in truth and in simplicity. In just simple, easy to understand terms. I think about your pastor. He has that radio message. 13 minutes, I think. Maybe 14 minutes on a long morning, but I believe the Lord enables him to say more in 13 minutes than probably most men say in a whole lifetime. Declaring God's word in truth and in simplicity. Well, let's look here in John chapter 8 this morning. Early in the morning, it says our Lord had come to the temple. And we read that when He did that, the people came unto Him. And He sat down and He taught them. Can you imagine? Can you imagine just sitting at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and being taught of Him? And while He was teaching the people, I mean, could there be anything more precious? Could there be anything more vital to the soul than hearing a word from the Lord? While He was doing that, and we should have such a tremendous regard for this time. John, those songs you picked this morning all deal with the Word. All deal with our Lord. Is there anything more precious than that time we have when the Word's being read? I don't know if the sign's still out there. I remember coming here one time and it said basically, don't come through that door if somebody's in prayer or the word's being spoken. We don't want to disrupt that, do we? No. But the scribes and the Pharisees, they had no regard. They had no regard for him, did they? No. They brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And listen, they didn't just slip in the back door. They brought her in and they set her down in the very midst of the congregation. Right in the middle of the congregation for everybody to see. And no doubt that those men might be seen themselves. You know, most of what the Pharisees did was that purpose, to be seen of men. And they spoke to the Lord. They interrupted him and they said, "This woman was taken in adultery." She was taken in the very act of it. Look at verse 5. "Now Moses and the law commanded us to do this." Huh? And here's my first point. I said five words. Five words here. Look at these first five words. "That such should be stoned." That's five words, isn't it? "That such should be stoned." This woman, she had sinned. That's clear, isn't it? Huh? And the consequence of that sin is death. Now the scribes and Pharisees, I don't know that they had any interest in justice. They just seen this as an opportunity to discredit our Lord in the sight of men. Had they truly been interested in justice, they wouldn't have brought just one. They would have brought both of them, wouldn't they? Huh? In Leviticus 20:10, we read, "The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, and the adulterer, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death." That's the law. But they only brought the woman. Huh? But she, that doesn't make the case against her any less, does it? Huh? She, according to the law, was to be stoned. She was to be put to death. She had broken God's law. And you know the same is true of each and every one of us. We can look down our nose at her for a minute, can't we? Boy, if the Lord's revealed anything to us of our sin, we know that we find ourselves in the same situation, the same condemnation. We have sinned against God. Just as Adam, God told Adam, he said, "Concerning the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." Spiritual death. Death passed upon all men. Adam disobeyed God. He sinned against God. And again, the same is true of each and every one of us. Verse 5 of our text. "This woman who had broken God's law." Scripture says this: "That such should be stoned." Put to death. What's God's word say? The wages of sin is death. Right? "The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die." We're guilty. We're deserving of death. Deserving of condemnation. And you know, I don't read anywhere in this passage where she tried to defend herself. I believe she knew that. Verse 5. Look at the end of verse 5. Here we see a little of what these fellows were up to. They asked the Lord, sayest thou? Why did they ask that? Because they truly wanted knowledge? No, they said that, tempting him, that they might accuse him. You know, if he said, stone her, it would turn the people against him. If he said, let her go free, then he'd be accused of violating the law. But he said nothing. He said nothing to them. That might be good instruction for us sometime. Huh? Sometime, probably most of the time, right? He said nothing to them. Instead, what did he do? He stooped down. Oh my, did the Lord Jesus Christ ever stoop down? Huh? He came down. Did any man ever come down like he came down? Huh? Seated in glory, he came down to this earth. He was made flesh. Almighty God robed himself in human flesh. He became a man. He took upon himself the form of a servant, made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He came down, didn't he? He suffered like no man ever suffered. He died on the cross. He shed his own blood. He came down. He stooped down, didn't he? Huh? He stooped down, and then we read here, with his finger, he wrote on the ground. That same finger that wrote on those tables of stone. And there he is, just writing on the ground. He wrote the law. Hold your place there, but turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 19. What's the purpose of that law that he wrote? Romans 3:19. We know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law. Why? That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty. Guilty before Almighty God. With that finger, he wrote on the ground. He wrote the law. That same finger that wrote on the wall. Remember what he said to Belshazzar? Wouldn't that be a terrible thing to hear? You've been weighed in the balance. You know, there's a lot of folks in this world that feel like they've got a whole lot of good deeds that outweigh their sin. This is what's going to be told. You've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. I can tell you as a kid, I remember one time my mom had me get in line at the register to buy something for her. And I think she'd given me $5 and she thought that was enough. Bunch of people behind me. And I went to pay, and the lady, the cashier, said, that's not enough. That was just for something simple. You know, maybe a pack of gum and, just a few little odds and ends. That was embarrassing. That was humiliating. To be found wanting. I don't want to be found wanting. I want to be found in Christ. Huh? That same finger. Now, listen. He wrote. Now, it's not recorded. It's not recorded what he wrote. Some of the old writers say he might have jotted down maybe some of those men's names. Maybe jotted down a few things maybe they had been guilty of. We don't know. But they continued asking. Look at verse 7, John 8, verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and he said to them. Here's the second point. Here's five more words here. He that is without sin. He that is without sin. Now we've established this woman. She was a sinner. Right? There's no question. No question about that. But is that only true of her? Was she the only sinner in that room? You know, outward sin's not always easy to see. Yes. We clean up nice, don't we? Our Lord says, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. You know, he's talking to some religious folks here, right? I mean, he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees. These are the so-called religious leaders of the time. Is there any without sin? In Matthew 23, our Lord spoke to a group of scribes and Pharisees, and he said this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Boy, they must have just turned over when he said that to them. The image that they had portrayed to the people. He said, "You're like whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward." You know, those caskets they make now, they're beautiful, aren't they? But what's inside? Dead men's bones. Huh? All uncleanness. Even so, outwardly. He said, outwardly you appear righteous. But within, you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. You're full of iniquity, transgression of the law. These scribes and Pharisees were not without sin. Romans 3:23, all. Can we fit into all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Our Lord referred in Matthew, he referred to those Pharisees as an evil and adulterous generation. Yet, they're ready to condemn this woman. This is my point. This is, and I hope this is a simple point. All have sinned. Huh? All. That's pretty clear, isn't it? All have sinned. Not just some. All. All have sinned. All have transgressed God's holy law. All are deserving of death and condemnation. You know, knowing that, wouldn't you think at times maybe we might have a little kinder spirit toward others? Maybe even be a little more forgiving ourselves. And I promise you, I'm not saying anything to you that I'm not saying to myself first. Galatians chapter 6, we read this. He says, brethren, he's speaking to believers here. And he says, brethren, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. And do so in a spirit of meekness. Huh? Considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. Let's not forget the pit that we've been digged out of. Huh? Ephesians 4:32. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Well, let's move on here. He said this, that such should be stoned. Huh? The wages of sin is death. He said, he that is without sin, all have sinned. He that is without sin, let him first cast a stone at her. Verse 8, and again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left, the Lord Jesus Christ was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman. I don't know how many people were still there, but I know these two. The Lord Jesus Christ and a sinner. Huh? He saw none but the woman. He laid his eyes on her. You know, back there in the book of Ezekiel 16, remember that child? Remember that little infant girl cast out into the open field? What a miserable, what an awful sight that must have been. But we read this. The Lord said this. He said, when I passed by thee, and then what did he say? And I saw thee. I saw thee, polluted in thine own blood. He saw her. And he said, live. He spoke life to her. You know, it's awful. It's awful what this woman had done. Huh? And the Lord did not justify her in her sin. He didn't deny the justice of the law in this matter. The justice of the law in condemning her. You ever experience something or see something and ask yourself, what good could possibly come from this? Does that ever happen to you? I've seen things and I question, and I know we shouldn't. Right? God worketh all things. But do you ever just look at something and just ask, what good could possibly come from this? You know, this woman was taken in the very act of adultery. What a serious, serious matter. She was drugged. There's no excusing these men's actions either. They drug her into the temple. She knew the law. She knew the consequence. She had to be humiliated. She had to be just scared out of her mind. I'm gonna die. What good? Can good come from this? Joseph, back in the Old Testament, remember what he said to his brothers? Huh? He said, "You meant this for evil, but God meant it for good." John 8:10, he saw none but the woman. And listen to what he said to her. He said, five more words here. "Where are those thine accusers?" Is there nobody here to take up a stone and cast at you? Is there no man to execute the sentence of death on you? You know, the law required two or three witnesses. And often the witness was the one involved in carrying out the sentence. But there wasn't a single witness left, was there? You know, up to this point, there's nothing to indicate that this woman had said one word. We just read this a little bit. What's the purpose of the law? That every mouth may be stopped and the whole world guilty before God. You ever been brought to that point? You know, I can think as a kid, I can think of times, I can think as an adult, times that, you know, maybe being accused of something. We always got to answer, right? Huh? But it was point to this one, point to that one. But you know what? When we're truly guilty, ain't nothing to say, is there? Huh? Nothing. Nothing to say. Every mouth may be stopped. Why? Because I'm guilty. Guilty. Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, "No man, Lord." You see that? No man, Lord. You know, the Pharisees called him Master. And you know, I'm sure they clenched their teeth when they were saying that. But she calls him Lord. Lord. Remember what the publican said? Huh? "Lord, be merciful to me, sinner." What did the thief on the cross say? "Lord, remember me." That leper, he said, "Lord, if you will, you can make me whole." She calls him Lord. And she does well, doesn't she? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. She calls on the name of the Lord. What's God's word declared? "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Let's read on in verse 11. Five more words. Verse 10. Oh, the joy that must have filled her soul when she heard this. "Neither do I condemn thee." This sinful woman, worthy of death, a transgressor of God's law, standing before the judge of all the earth. He with whom we have to do. He that holds our very breath in his hands. Hebrews 4, verse 13 says this: Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. Nothing's hid. Nothing's hid from Almighty God. All things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. And He says, the Lord Jesus Christ says to this woman, neither do I condemn thee. How's that possible? Huh? How is that possible? John 3:17, God sent not in His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. How's this possible? He's a just God, isn't He? But He's also a Savior. Neither do I condemn thee. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Verse 1. How's this possible? Romans 8:1. There is therefore now. When? Now. Right now. What's he say there? No condemnation. For who? Don't say that about everybody, does it? For who? To them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. How's it possible? Because the Lord Jesus Christ bore our penalty. Huh? He bore our judgment. He bore our condemnation. And not just for this woman's sin, but for the sins of all His elect. Every one of His sheep. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made accursed for us. We read that this morning. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Don't you love that passage of Scripture? Huh? The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. I remember Brother Henry used to read that. He said, stick your name, if you're one of His, put your name right there. Huh? With His stripes, we are healed. Neither do I condemn thee. Romans 8:33 says this, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Huh? There's nothing to accuse them of. We're justified. Huh? Delivered from the curse of the law, He was made a curse for us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifies. Huh? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Neither do I condemn thee. Now quickly, back to our text here in John chapter 8, verse 11. 5 more words. He tells her this: go and sin no more. Now, is that possible? To sin no more? No. We can't make it through a worship service without sin. I can't make it through this last point without sin, can we? No. But consider this woman's way of life. Consider the situation that she had been taken from. Maybe her friends, her companions, her tenor of life. What's he saying here? Don't go back. Don't go back to that. Romans 6:1 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the answer to that question? Pretty strong, isn't it? God forbid. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? You know what? I was thinking. Abby used to work for a surgeon. And he was a skilled surgeon. And I suppose one of the benefits of her working for him, anytime we needed medical care, he'd see us. And he'd do so at his own expense. He would do so at no charge. He was an orthopedic surgeon. But you know what we didn't do? We didn't go out and just try to break bones to have an excuse to go see him and take advantage of his services, right? No. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. We're dead to sin. That's what. And listen, if I'm regenerated, if I'm justified, if I'm sanctified, God said this: He's cleansed us from all sin. We're dead to the dominion of sin. Scripture says this: sin shall no longer have dominion over you. You're not under the law, but under grace. Think about Lot's wife. Lot's wife. Lot and his family left Sodom. That place was full of sin. There weren't 10 righteous people in that whole land. What'd she do? She looked back. Don't read about the rest of them looking. She looked back. That's where her heart was. She turned to a pillar of salt. Listen. Has God delivered you? Would you go back? Would you go back? Go and sin no more. Well, what do we read there to open with? I'd rather speak 5 words. 5 words with the voice of my understanding, that I might teach others also. You still have John 8. Look there at verse 5. 5 words. That such should be stoned. Wages of sin is death. Verse 7. He that is without sin, all have sinned. Verse 10. 5 words. Where are they? those thine accusers? Can Satan accuse you? Huh? He's been conquered. Can the law accuse you? Christ has fulfilled the law. Can judgment? Christ's been judged. God's justice is satisfied. Verse 11. Neither do I condemn thee. Could there be any sweeter words? Think of that woman's condition. Think how she'd been drug in before those people. She had to fear for her life. The embarrassment, the humiliation. What does he say here? Neither do I condemn thee. And then five more words there. Go and sin no more. 1 John 2:1, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And, but here's the good, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. I pray the Lord would speak to our hearts here this morning in truth and simplicity, and that He would let us leave this place rejoicing in Him, resting in Him. I pray He'd be pleased to bless His